Christmas Eve. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christmas gift. Have those two words been on your mind at all this month? Or like my mother-in-law, since June or July? My mother-in-law used to shop very, very specifically for all of us. And she would be so proud of herself when she had all of our Christmas gifts chosen, picked out, and purchased by the 4th of July. It was so important to her to get just the right gift in her mind for absolutely everyone. I say in her mind because most of the 1980s brought Vince and I matching sweaters and flannel shirts from Land's End. We didn't mind, but yeah, we wore the same clothes for about a decade. How about you? Are you one of those selective present choosers? Do you know your loved ones and want to get them just the right thing? Because it means so much to you? Or maybe you're a gift card kind of person and you want them to choose for themselves. That's okay too. But tonight I want to talk to you about how God gives gifts. God has been at this gift-giving business since well before the 4th of July. God has been at this gift-giving business since the beginning of creation, when God brought order out of the swirling chaos, and God created human beings, you and I, in the image of God. And when God finished all of creation, on that seventh day, he turned around and he said, "It is good." Now, we haven't always been good. And thank God, God is God and not Santa Claus. Think about that. But God has been preparing gifts for us since the beginning of time. And do you know that throughout Scripture is word of God's providence for God's people? The Israelites in the wilderness, when they were complaining to God — none of us ever complained to God, by the way — God dropped manna from the sky and said, "I'm going to take care of you." And later, through the prophets, God promised a Savior. And the people said, "Okay, God, but let us create the Savior in our own image." And God said, "No. Because God sent us that Savior through an infant. Not an infant of noble estate, but an infant born to people who probably in their own village were considered nobodies. Oh, that's just Joseph and Mary. They had a kid. We've heard some stories, though. Right? But God made good on God's promise. And through the angels said to shepherds, right, the first people chosen to hear the good news, We're shepherds. Can you think of an equivalent occupation today? Maybe working at farmland. Or night stalkers at Walmart. You know, pick something you don't want to do. And we'll get you locked out of the temple because you were dirty. God thought about this. Well, God is choosing a gift for all humanity. And God said, I'm going to announce this gift to shepherds. This is the good news. Do not be afraid, shepherds, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Messiah the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. That was just one angel. One angel talking to some shepherds. And then picture this. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors. Can you picture the night sky lit up with the whole host of heaven? This is part of why we celebrate communion every Sunday in this congregation. Because every week we need a little reminder that we're always connected to that whole host of heaven that celebrated the good news of Jesus' birth on Christmas. The whole host of heaven. You see, humans, whether you are of high estate or low estate or lower than the shepherds, the good news is for you. For unto us is born a Savior, Christ the Lord, God incarnate. Because when the world most desperately needed to know what God was like, God sent us Jesus, who healed and reached out and touched the lost and the outcast and the poor and the lonely, and who forgave not just his friends, but those who nailed him to the cross. This is why we are here together on Christmas Eve, to sing the hymns of our faith, the hymns of the church. See, all the rest of December, the world gets Christmas. Even if the world is trying to say, let's keep Christ in Christmas, if you listen to the music, well, it's going to be over tomorrow, after tomorrow. It's Deck the Halls, Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. What are some of those others? Deck the Halls. I went Christmas caroling with a group of middle schoolers back in Wisconsin 10 years ago. They didn't know any of the Christmas hymns. They knew the secular Christmas hymns. They knew about Christmas. They knew about Santa. But they did not. And these were church kids. Did not know the Christmas hymns. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is our duty to sing the faith into their hearts. Now, Christmas has a lot of mythology that goes with it, too. I won't even sugarcoat that. There's a lot about Christmas, even in the Christian tradition, that comes with tradition and not scripture. But the core of the good news, that I believe to my bones, is God does not put us here on earth to fend for ourselves. God sent his Son as one of us in a time in his life when he had neither the capacity to hate nor hurt. When God wanted to show the world what God's personality was like, God sent us Jesus. This shall be a sign for you. This shall be a gift for you. May the peace of the unconditional love of God, who sent us Jesus, God with us, God Emmanuel, God incarnate, be with you, sustain you, and propel you to sing the good news. Amen.